CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Detective says Robert Wagner is not a suspect in the 1981 death of his wife, actress Natalie Wood. CBS's Steve Futterman reports they are taking another look at the 30-year-old case, though.
The sheriff's lieutenant in charge of this new investigation was very careful in the words he used.
We have received information which we felt was substantial enough to make us take another look at this case.
But Lieutenant John Carina insisted that at this point, the death is still considered an accident.
If our investigation, at the end of it, points to something else, then we'll address that. But right now, her death is an accidental drowning.
When asked specifically if Natalie Wood's husband at the time, Robert Wagner, is a suspect, the lieutenant said no. He refused to say who investigators plan to interview. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at Sheriff's Headquarters in Los Angeles.
Fire in Reno. 20 homes destroyed by the wind-whipped wildfire. 10,000 people evacuated.
I've had an opportunity to meet with some of the evacuees from their homes. They're all very positive, but they're all in a state of shock.
That's Governor Brian Sandoval. One man suffering a fatal heart attack while evacuating. A disaster declared there. Avastin, the FDA revoking approval as a treatment for breast cancer. CBS's Pam Coulter.
Some patients had been hoping the FDA would preserve Avastin as a treatment option, but experts say it has little impact on tumors and does not extend life while having some very dangerous side effects. The FDA action does not take the drug off the market. Doctors can still prescribe it, but insurance companies may not cover it.
Medicare says it will continue to pay for breast cancer patients to acquire Avastin. Sentencing today for the charismatic Sweat Lodge leader convicted in the deaths of three people who participated in an Arizona ceremony.
I can only ask, maybe, for forgiveness.
James Arthur Ray gets 3 2-year prison sentences to run concurrently. Just announced this afternoon, NCAA launching an investigation of the Penn State child sex abuse scandal. The campus of Oklahoma State University in mourning. Two of its coaches killed in a small plane crash in central Arkansas.
This is obviously an incredibly devastating event. It's our worst nightmare.
President Burns Hargis calling on the campus to pull together. The university grieving the loss of the women's basketball team's head coach and his assistant. If you knew where that tasty breakfast treat really came from.
It's one of McDonald's most popular products.
If an egg McMuffin sounds good to you, listen.
But there are questions about a company that supplied many of the eggs used in the egg McMuffin. The group Mercy for Animals has released what it says is an undercover video showing animal cruelty at Sparbo Farms operations in three states. Hens crammed into cages in which they can't move, workers burning off the beaks of chicks. McDonald's, which is dropping the supplier, says the video is disturbing and completely unacceptable. The Food and Drug Administration has sent the company a warning letter. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Dow, right now, up 48 points. The NASDAQ is off 13. This is CBS News.
The Home Depot has pre-Black Friday prices on appliances today. Get $700 off a stainless steel French door Maytag Ice 2.0 refrigerator that uses even less energy than an average light bulb, all for just $1,198. Beat Black Friday's crowds with a wide selection of appliances at pre-Black Friday prices today. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last through November 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
If you could hear inside a criminal mind, what would it sound like?
Nothing Stalker likes better than routine.
Pressure, steaming, scheming.
He's calculating, and we're going to have to do something that he's not expecting.
Building, boiling.
He's learning, becoming a better killer.
Seeking a release.
This guy's getting off the charts brutal.
Until...
FBI! Put down the knife!
Go inside the crime and the mind. Criminal Minds, this weekend. Check your local listings.
Taking stock of General Motors.
With GM stock now selling about $11 a share below its launch price, the government has delayed selling its remaining stake. However, as GM marketing chief Joel Awanek promotes new products at the LA Auto Show, he's seeing the government Motors mantle start to fade.
And what we're finding is it's not sticking. It's not as relevant as it once was when people were more heated about it.
GM is profitable again and has gained market share. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Repossession, Occupy style, explained by CBS's Larry Miller.
London's Occupy protesters have taken over an empty building owned by the bank UBS, justifying it by saying since the banks repossess families' homes, empty bank property needs to be repossessed by the public. They've named it the Bank of Ideas and plan seminars and comedy. A spokeswoman says it'll be a place where people trade in creativity rather than money. UBS says it's considering its options.
I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Glazed ham, cheesecake. The holidays are so close, I can almost taste them.
You can at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club event. Sample delicious entrees, desserts, and more. And everyone's invited.
It's the perfect time to taste and join.
Sign up at the event and get a $10 gift card, plus a $20 gift certificate good the day after Thanksgiving, November 25th.
I'm there.
Don't miss the samples and savings at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club, November 18th through the 20th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sam's Club, savings made simple. $20 gift certificate good with $50 purchase.
College.
You join the military to serve your country.
Commission.
You work.
Deployments.
You sacrifice.
Promotions.
You spend your lifetime building toward retirement.
Retirement.
Now, you could lose it. Right now, government leaders are making severe cuts to your military benefits. But just $17 makes you a member of the Military Officers Association of America, MOAA, and gives us more ammunition in the fight to protect the benefits you earn. Visit MOAA.org/yourvoice right now.
It is time to talk. It's Friday. Karen Vealey's not with us. We're going to have Cal Coast News Update coming up in just a moment or two.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
She said she had a doozy, and if you haven't gone to calcoastnews.com yet, please do so, and you'll find out exactly why doozy it is, for sure. Let me give you a phone number, 786-2578. That's 786-2578. Or 1-866-937-1340. Want to buzz in and talk about whatever we've been doing this week and what's been going on and what's going on in the future and the perfect future tense and past and perfect future. I forget all that. Let me mention this too, because apparently something went haywire. I'm reading between the lines here, but that's not that hard because it's a double space. The National Guard Chief Warrant Officer was supposed to arrive yesterday. I don't think he made it. So he's going to arrive at slow at the airport between 5:30 and 5:45 tonight. So if you could be there at 5-ish, we're sorry that things got screwed up yesterday. It was nobody's fault except the airline, I guess. I don't know who's at fault. But anyway, he's coming in for sure, and that's our National Chief Warrant Officer. And that's high up, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So that means he's worked very hard. And so that's between 5:30 and 5:45. Be there about 5 o'clock at the airport if you can tonight. If you're on your way home, say, hey, just pull in, you know. They'll give you a flag. You wave it. You say hi. Welcome home. And do good things because he deserves it.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Looks like you're ready to do some honeydews. You've got a list, and what's with those knee pads?
I am ready to get her done.
Uh-oh.
We've got guests coming for the holidays, and Mom says we can't have any more plumbing problems like last year.
Yeah, I remember the kitchen faucet wouldn't stop dripping. The garbage disposal froze up at Thanksgiving, and the worst was when after dinner, your weirdo uncle wouldn't come out of the bathroom. What was that all about?
You know, don't even ask. It was ugly. And that's exactly why Mom's got me on the job.
Good thing you're starting early.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has pre-holiday sale pricing on no-drip top-quality kitchen faucets, super-efficient insecurator garbage disposers, and powerful water-saving Toto toilets. To get sale pricing and an early jump on your holiday honeydews, go to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Most smokehouse barbecues have been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
And broadcasting, and by the way, as we broadcast today, and I want to remind you that we are being brought to you by Swiss Dental Clinic, and they can fix your teeth and everything. So if you're one of those people, if you're like, what was that guy's name? Leon Spinks. Remember Leon Spinks? If you're going to eat a sub sandwich, you know, without opening your mouth, then you might want to go to Swiss Dental and have them check out your teeth because they'll do it for you. And right there we have wonderful work being done. And Carol Phillips is there to help you. All right. I thought I mentioned that right there. I got this stack of stuff because there's so many things going on this weekend and the week. It's like, holy dump truck. All right, let's do today, according to the Tribune. Our highlight in history on November 18th in 1883, the United States and Canada adopted a system of standard time zones. Working out really good. The border's working out pretty good still. On this date, 1966, U.S. Roman Catholic bishops did away with the rule against eating meat on Fridays outside of Lent. And in 1978, U.S. Representative Leo J. Ryan of California and four others were killed in Jonestown, Guyana by members of the People's Temple. The killings were followed by a night of mass murder and suicide by more than 900 cult members. Birthday today, author-poet Margaret Atwood is 72, actress Linda Evans is 69, and actor Owen Wilson is 43 today. We'll say happy birthday to them and to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Get hooked right there. Wait, I got this right here.
Southcoastnews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Okay, we got this news update, and Calcoast News update, and this is on 1340 KYNS, your news station, as we just said. Now, here's the thing. An update to the update has happened, so I think I'll read the first thing first, and I'll update what they had to say. The original California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo is planning to change its affiliation with the CSU system, Provost Robert Koob said Wednesday at a retired faculty association luncheon. Koob told attendees the administration is working to privatize the university. It'll be the first time a CSU school has turned away from the state. Critics are raising questions about how the university will be able to take state property as it becomes a private corporation, what will happen to faculty and staff retirement accounts, and the direction the university will take as a private institution. Cal Poly is on its way to becoming a private university, Koob said. That is where much of the nation is going, and that's where Cal Poly is going. This is Cal Poly's response to cuts of the state funding currently. University relies upon private funding and tuition for more than half its budget, and President Jeffrey Armstrong has said that on a number of occasions the university needs to look to new models to raise money for its operations. Privatization attempts throughout the nation, including semi-privatization with campuses, are having the ability to set tuition levels and then keep the earnings. Investments from private industry and privatization through legislature, Cal Poly has not yet disclosed how it plans to privatize. Let's just go to this right here. So then Karen updated with this. Public relations spokesperson Stacia Momberg said the university is denying Provost Robert Koob said the university is working to privatize. In addition, she said he did not say they plan to have students teach classes. There were 50 people at the luncheon, and several called earlier to confirm that Koob said the university was working to privatize and explained that students would teach classes as a way to implement a plan. So the big question that's already been brought up right there, and one of the first people that wrote in on the thread, was how in the world are you going to do that? Because we the taxpayer pays we own the land and we paid for all the buildings and we paid for everything outside of Cal Poly, and so then how does that work? So there's some interesting questions out there hanging out there. But then the university is saying the guy didn't say that. Usually what they'll do is they'll say, well, no, you misunderstood what he said. You know, if all these people are sitting there listening to what he's saying. You know, okay, Bill, just go on here. All right, anti-gay marriage backers win one for the Gipper here. So here's what's going on. Supporters of the state's anti-gay measure prohibition will be allowed to defend the ban in court after the California Supreme Court ruled unanimously in their favor on Thursday. A legal challenge to Prop 8 passed by voters in 2008 was halted by a refusal of the Brown administration to litigate the issue on the grounds that the initiative is unconstitutional. Now, here's what's going on with this thing. So the court's basically saying, you had all these people vote, what is it, 47,000, 470,000, 4 million, I don't know how many people it was. A whole bunch of people in California said, okay, this is what we want. And so they said, you can't take an election and just throw it out the window without regard. But it wasn't going to be thrown out the window without regard anyway. We all know that this thing was headed for the state Supreme Court. And, of course, you know, murders go free every day. It would be hard to understand how this thing on a secular basis, how gay marriage on a secular basis could be denied by the Supreme Court. But, who knows? Yeah. Other things that are happening in our world and around town, and bad things in Oceano happened. We had a drive-by shooting. Two people were hurt in Oceano. One was shot, one was shot in the leg, and the other was shot in the temple. And so they were transported to hospitals, and the outcome at this point is unknown. But in the 1700 block of 21st Street, deputies are investigating that thing right now to see what's going on. So that's about what I have for Cal Coast News today. A huge story, of course, with the with what's going on at Cal Poly. So amidst the CSU raising tuition 9% yesterday that was announced. So a lot of hot pokers in the fire. Karen Bailey will return on Monday, and we'll see if we can update from then. This has been CalCoastNews.com on 1340 KYNS.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Thank you. Here's another thing, a big thing that's going on in the news today, and that is, and boy, this is too weird. All right, let me see if I got it right here. I think I have it right here. All right, here's what's happened. The 30th anniversary of the death of Natalie Wood is coming up, and as we are all aware, she drowned off of Catalina Island. I don't think far off. I think the yacht was probably parked out there where they parked the rest of them. Anyway, so this was 30 years ago, so that anniversary is coming our way. Actor Robert Wagner, of course, her husband, and also on the boat that particular night was Christopher Walken. So why this guy's coming forward now, I don't know. But the boat captain has come forward, who was the, you know, there was a chartered yacht. And the boat captain has come forward with quite a story 30 years later. Why he decided to wait 30 years to tell us the story, we're not sure. But here's the story that he had to tell.
We got into the salon, and the tension was still building very, very strong. And Christopher and Natalie were sitting on the sofa, and within a split second, Robert Wagner picked up a wine bottle and smashed it on the coffee table and yelled out, "What are you trying to do, blank my wife?" And at that moment, Christopher got up and went into his stateroom. And Natalie was so devastated that she went into her stateroom. And Robert Wagner followed Natalie. And they continued arguing in their stateroom. And I went up on the bridge and I turned on the music because I didn't want them to feel like I was eavesdropping on their personal problems at that time. And it was like a lot of physical activity going on in the stateroom.
What do you mean?
Well, just noises of, you know, movement in the stateroom.
Like violence? And their voices. Yelling?
Yes. And then the argument went to the aft deck. And they argued back there for a little while, and then it became silent. So when it became silent, I thought, well, maybe things are smoothed over and maybe they've gone to bed. So I waited for a little while, and I thought, well, I'll go down and just check. So I went to the F deck, and Robert Wagner said, "Natalie is missing. Would I search the boat?" So I immediately went to my stateroom, thinking she went there because the night before she felt safe with me being with her in an unpleasant time. And I came back and I looked in Christopher Walken's stateroom. He was in there by himself. And I came back and I said to Robert Wagner, I said, "Oh, she's not here." And he said, "Well, the dinghy's gone." And I knew that she wouldn't really take the dinghy because she was really deathly afraid of the water, and if anything, she would have asked me to take her ashore or do whatever she wanted to do. She would have definitely asked me, like she did the night before.
So what did you suspect at that moment had happened?
I was trying to believe that maybe she really didn't, just in a rage. Maybe she just really got in the dinghy and went ashore. Then I said to Robert Wagner, I said, well, you know, let's turn on the searchlight to see if we can see her. And he says, no, we don't want to do that right now. I said, well, maybe let's call into the restaurant. And he said, we don't want to do anything right at the moment. So we waited. And finally, after a couple hours, Robert Wagner called into the restaurant and said no one was there and the restaurant had been closed. So they came out to the Splendor. And at that time, they said, we need to contact the Coast Guard and start conducting a search.
Okay, this guy's name is Captain Dennis Davern. He's the guy that was the skipper of the boat. Strange tale. And again, no indication at this point has been told of why this has been, you know, it's, the probe has been reopened. One thing that you can tell is, now, there was a coroner's report that was done back in 1981, if I recall. And she had been drinking, and she was also, there was drugs and alcohol found in her system. So the idea that she fell over the side and drowned because she couldn't swim was easily believable. But now this guy's coming forward and saying, so they say there's no one's a suspect right now. Really? Really? Come on. No one's a suspect right now? I think I'm gonna find somebody else to buy my reverse mortgage from.
November has been declared Thank a Veteran Month by the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. It is a time to reflect on all that we owe our men and women currently in uniform and our veterans who so nobly served before them. Whenever you see a service member in uniform, please take a moment to thank them and be mindful of our reserves and veterans and always be thankful for them. It's Thank a Veteran Month. Please show them how much you care and don't forget, hire a vet.
Don't forget to hire a vet. It's vet. Okay, let's do this. Let's get Spencer's done because I want you to have lunch. Lunchtime, it's 23 after the hour of 12 noon, and it's time for some good chow. So if you go to Spencer's, any of the five Spencer's, they got the great deli department, and they'll make you a big sandwich out of any of those Boar's Head meats and cheeses and stuff. You get to try them out that way, and you'll just be delighted. In San Luis Obispo, they have a soup bar. You can go and get some great soup. And they have all kinds of other great stuff. They got fresh green bean casserole, which you could have, you know, there, or you could take that home for Thanksgiving. They got red skin potatoes, which you could have there, or take that home for Thanksgiving. They have cranberry orange relish, which you eat there, or you could take that home for Thanksgiving. And then they have all the other stuff. But they really do. They got lots of salads and things, you know, and they got soda drinks, you know, and like a soda fountain, and you can buy a drink. And just have yourself a nice lunch, a nice place to sit, and it's always very nice. Here's what's going on also at Spencer's right before the holidays, and that's Mary's huge turkeys there. They're big, huge turkeys, California-grown Mary's free-range turkeys. And so you can pre-order that and get that taken care of. Get some Martinelli sparkling cider, 2 for $4. Get all the stuff you need. They got the pumpkin pie stuff. They got the crust. They got everything you need to do Thanksgiving, I promise you, you will find at Spencer's Fresh Market, and you'll find it at a very good price. So I would suggest for your Thanksgiving meal and put together to visit your nearby Spencer's and get the job done. Yes, they have beer, they have wine, they have booze, they have all that, the Coca-Colas, they got all that stuff, pop. They're in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Rio Grande, and Santa Maria. All right, get to John Spencer's and get your thing going. All right, let's see what's going on here. Let me go over some of the things that are. Let me see if I can remember everything that's happening. Jim D, by the way, Jim D will join us at 1:05-ish, and we'll talk about what's going on. Reverend Kurt Miner was in this week, and the celebration song is going to happen this Saturday and Sunday. tomorrow and Sunday, and that's at the United Church of Christ San Luis Obispo at 11245 Los Osos Valley Road, which is right next to the golf course and diagonally across from the junior high. There's only one church there. There's lots of parking, and it's a nice place. And so this is to benefit Gala and PFLAG. And so that's at 2 o'clock, and admission is $15, so you might want to look into that and see if you want to go. I'm going. And then, oh, God, we have, well, here's another thing that's going on. Christmas Carol's going on at PCPA, so you can go to pcpa.org, and you can see where you get tickets for that. And so I'll go there. I'm also going there this weekend, and so then I'll be able to report to you when we have Craig Schaefer's going to come in Wednesday, and we'll talk about the whole darn thing. Anyway, but they'll do a great job, as you well know. You know what's coming up? Sorcerer Productions, and I got to get hold of Natalia and get somebody in here. Sorcerer Productions is about to open up their show for, I think it's next week, and that's for the Forever Plaid Tidings, it's called. So if you saw if you got to see the show Forever Plaid, and it's a great musical, just a great musical. And then this has to do with Christmassy music and stuffy like that. So it's called Forever Plaid Tidings. And that's at the Clark Center, so if you want to go on to www.clarkcenter.org, you can see what's going on there. Did I get most of it right now? Did I get this? Okay, one last time this. And that's the soldier that's coming home, National Guard Chief Warrant Officer Alexander. He'll arrive at the airport between 5:30 and 5:45 this afternoon. If you can be there about 5 o'clock-ish and say hi, it would be really cool. And we thank once again Cheryl and Robert Tolman from Mobile Home Troops for welcoming home our troops and doing such a wonderful job of doing that. Other things that are happening. Let me, you know what we're going to have for music today? I don't know what got into me, but I thought, I don't know, why not let something get into you? I said, okay, what is it? And it's going to be, are you ready? It's going to be covers of the Beatles songs in reggae. You know, we have a reggae show here on Sunday. What channel is that on Sunday? Who's that? Is that higher or is that someplace else? There's a reggae show on Sunday. Anyway, but this was I thought this was kind of interesting, and I thought you might like it. So we're going to test drive that. See what we do. All right, other things that are happening in our world. Okay, here's a picture of the they had the big tie up on the Cuesta Grade with the accident yesterday, and there's a picture of that, and the person had to be jawed of life out of that thing. Anyway, so that caused some grief going northbound yesterday. The former Oceana CSD board member says she's opposed to the local location of the collective for the proposed marijuana dispensary. She says Tammy Murray's plan, open compassionate cannabis information to the county board of supervisors, would likely hear the appeal in early February. County's senior planner, Bill Robeson, said, in the past, medical marijuana dispensary appeals to the county board have not fared well. Barbara Mann, who filed the appeal, said she did so based on the project's location. It's an area that allows light industrial use, but surrounded by a sprinkling of homes and many storage facilities and health and safety reasons. Whatever they are. So here's what's really weird. When the dispensary was operating in Morro Bay, was it okay? Did they have bad elements? Was there some suspicion that something really bad was going on there? Because unless you open one of these and then you find out, I mean, you can say we're going to do this with an ultimatum that if there's any kind of problem whatsoever, we're going to shut you down. You can have a conditional permit to do that. And then you find out, yes, it's a problem, or no, it's not a problem. How can we possibly know if we never open one up? Okay, but there's the thing. Now, here's what's here. Oh, you know who's the new Michigan Community Bank State president? Well, they just merged and everything. But she's founded the bank, for gosh sakes, and that's Anita Robinson, who's been in town forever and ever and ever in the banking industry. And so congratulations to her. And good. People like her a lot, and she'll do a good job. All right, we got storms coming possibly Sunday, and then also maybe in Thanksgiving, they're saying right now. But that's a long way away. I mean, the weather, that's a week away, and the weather can kind of switch itself around and do things. But that's what they're saying, rain on Sunday and rain on Thanksgiving as of this point. Let us go to the Swiss Dental Center and get some work done.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a $1 million smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place.
Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenience. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
The Children's Resource Network of the Central Coast is changing lives. The primary focus is to provide local children in need with clothing, shoes, backpacks, school supplies, blankets, and holiday items. They're also helping women in need with clothing, pregnant teens or women with maternity clothing, moms with newborn babies with clothing and diapers, and the homeless and the previously homeless with clothing, blankets, basic household items like beds, towels, and dishes.
After my husband lost his job, I didn't know what we were going to do. With two teenagers in the house, we were really struggling. Then someone told me about the Children's Resource Network. They helped out so much. I can't thank them enough.
Make sure and ask about the newly added Teen's Closet. If you or you know someone who is in need of the Children's Resource Network, you can contact Lisa Ray at 709-8673. 709-8673. Children's Resource Network of the Central Coast.
I'm sitting here, the music's fade away. I'm thinking, okay, what's happening next? Hi, you're Bill. I'm happening next. This is 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo, as you can tell. Talk is cheap, and our phone numbers are 786-2578, 786-2578, and 1-866-937-1340. Karen Veeley, we did our wrap-up yesterday. She's busy this weekend. And then Jim D will be in about an hour from now, half hour from now. And we'll talk to him about what's going on at the Pam Theater. Pam. All right, let's talk about other things going on. Here's this was kind of cute. This is David Letterman. And so David Letterman says to, Herman Cain. He says, you ought to get some sort of a toll-free number, he told Cain in an interview set to air today. You dial 999, you get a free pizza. Now, instead of a free pizza when you dial 999, you're going to be able to get a job. That's the whole point, Cain said. It's about creating jobs. But I'm encountered that the economy may be beyond solvability at this point, to which Cain jokingly responded, are you trying to talk me out of this? He's trying real hard to talk me out. I don't know where we're at. I got to take you down there. I've no beyond any of this or not, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Okay. You're with Bill. Talk is cheap. Boeing's doing very well. I mean, Boeing, holy cow. Okay, let's talk about some of the things that are in the news, because there's some wild and interesting things. You've already heard the story by now, I'm sure, but in case you recently returned to the country, like last night, and you hadn't heard it, you had this airline, and the pilot got locked in the bathroom. The pilot got up. It was one of the small carriers, you know, so you didn't have, like, a pilot's bathroom. So he went to the back, and got locked out. He got locked in, rather. Got locked into the bathroom. And he couldn't get out. So at some point, a guy went up to the pilot's door, that cockpit door, and tapped on it and said that, you know, the pilot was in trouble. And so because the guy had a foreign accent that the guy didn't recognize anyway, and besides, it wouldn't matter if he had an accent or not, they said he would never have opened the door since 9/11, the new rules and all. And so he just said, okay, tough luck. And so I guess the co-pilot was going to land the plane, but they finally broke the guy out of the bathroom so he could go land the plane, which was nice. Can co-pilots land planes? I think they can. I think in a case of emergency, I think they can have some idea what they're doing. Anyway, so that was kind of a strange story right there. Regis Philbin said goodbye today, and it was a very nice show. And so that was kind of fun. All right, what else is going on? Big banks are cutting 75,000 jobs, they say, because they're just going to charge you more fees. They don't need tellers anymore, you know. And so that's the way it is. That's how they do it. How they've always done it. That's how they're doing it. Now let's talk about what else in the paper today. Demi and Ashton Kutcher are kaput. And you know, she was fine when she was Demi Moore, you know, when she was with Bruce Willis. Her life was good. Then all of a sudden she became known as Demi. And life went to heck in a handbasket for her. She broke up with Bruce. She met Ashton Kutcher. Now she's broken up with him. You can't be changing your name in the middle of the game, you know, sir. Other things are going on. Interesting. The Alaska State Troopers say a man apparently in angry that a snow berm was blocking his car is accused of attacking a snowplow with an axe. Snowplow driver James Ross told troopers that a man with an axe ran in front of his truck in Big Lake on November 6th. Ross said he was forced to slam on his brakes to avoid hitting the dude. Ross said the man swore at him and then hit the driver's side door of the plow truck with the axe. They identified the guy as 44-year-old Vernon Logan. Troopers said Logan told them his driveway had been plowed in, but he denied a confrontation took place. He was charged with assault and criminal mischief because you got a big axe stuck in the side of the car, or, you know, truck, or whatever. That's going to work really well. There's something else just came to mind, too, it'll come back to me. Yeah, so these things, they go in, they come back to me. But I was going to tell you something else. Oh, here's the thing. You know the guy that took a shot at the White House? Two shots. He took fire two shots, hit a window, the two shots at the White House. Now, the guy should be tried as an idiot. You know, but he's going to be tried as an assassinator. If the president isn't in the White House at the time that somebody shoots at it, can you be charged with attempted assassination? Who are you assassinating? I guess they say the staff, though. You know, to take a pot shot at the staff. But that was he didn't like Obama, and he said so. So that's why he was shooting at the White House, but Obama wasn't there. And you got to admit, the guy's just kind of a goonhead. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this long-distance two-shot thing. It's like, what are you kidding? Anyway, he said, what did he say? What did he say about the guy? He's serious what he said. The man, Oscar Ramiro Ortega Hernandez of Idaho Falls, was accused of firing a semi-automatic assault rifle at the residential floors of the White House last week. He was also convinced the federal government meant to conspire against him and had become increasingly more agitated before he disappeared from Ohio last month, a complaint said. And he called Barack Obama the Antichrist. He needed to kill him, he said. So this guy's not well in the brain. This guy's not good at all. Once again, I don't make a big issue out of the whole thing, but here's how they say this. That is firing a semi-automatic assault rifle. There's no such thing as a semi-automatic assault rifle. There's an assault rifle, and that's an automatic weapon. That's what the Army gets. And there's a semi-automatic weapon, which is what they sell to civilians, because you only fire one shot at a time. It can't be both things. That's an oxymoron to call it a semi-automatic assault rifle, because it can't be that. I'm trying to help out here, I'm just trying to. I was a gunner's mate. I don't know anything much about anything else in the whole world, but I knew that. You can trust me on that. I know my stuff. I know my guns. Which is why I got into radio. What was I going to do with that? All right, other things going on. Well, you probably heard about this. The police union has asked the state to overturn the voter decision. So they said that they weren't given an opportunity to negotiate properly with the city before the city put this thing on the ballot. And anyway, they're not happy. So somebody else, a fire department, just tried to overturn one that didn't work recently. So and this probably won't work either, to tell you the truth. But what they can do by doing this is they can torque off the citizens a little bit more. They can make the people madder at them. And there we go. They're making too much dough. California Valley suspects charged in the torture case. There's no question about that. They burnt this guy with a blowtorch. They stabbed him with a fork. Which first you see, it's like a baked potato. You cook them and then you hit the fork there, make sure the steam comes out and everything's okay. It doesn't explode. But anyway, but then when you hit somebody with a hammer, there's no excuse for that unless you're doing chicken. So anyway, but they haven't said yet why they think this happened. I'm sure it wasn't like just an initiation of some kind. I have a feeling there was something else involved. Don't you? Okay, me too. Ohio troopers making a traffic stop say they found a pot present, a gift-wrapped package containing 25 individually wrapped packets of marijuana. The driver from Washington State has been charged with trafficking and possession of marijuana and possession of criminal tools, both felonies, and a misdemeanor count of driving under suspension. Okay. They said the pot was valued at $63,000. But maybe they were gifts, though. Maybe he has friends that smoke pot. I guess so. I don't know. It's possible to have it, though. The arrest thing, the whole thing that's going on in the Occupy movement is really quite strange. What happened in New York was the strangest of all, of course, is that they kept everybody away. They said, for your own safety, we have to keep you away as we round up people in the middle of the night. And then we're going to hose the whole thing down there by Wall Street, and then everything's going to be fine. And so the press, who on a regular basis traveled to Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries at war that are under fire many times, they would have willingly said, we're okay, as long as you don't hit us over the head with a club, But that's not how they did it, so it's kind of really weird. But here, meanwhile, Occupy San Luis Obispo is continuing on a peaceful note, which is nice. And that's, what do they call it? Gandhi-esque. A Gandhi-esque approach to the thing. You just sit down and say, leave us alone. All right, other things going on. Because of the economy, which is interesting because you'd think people couldn't afford birth control pills and other birth control devices, but it says U.S. birth rate dips again thanks to the economy. The economy may be the best form of birth control right there. It says right there. That's what's going on. All right. I'm not going any further into that one either, by the way. The census shows that reaching 90, you have a better chance of reaching 90 than you ever did before. So those headlines really didn't need. We kind of gathered that. and you have a better chance of reaching 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, and 1. Well, I don't know about 1, because our infant mortality is not that great, but it is great. I should say it that way. But once you get past a certain point, you should live to be 90. And ask yourself this right now. Ask yourself right now. How are you going to afford yourself? How are you going to afford yourself at 90? I'm thinking about Okay. What did they say the other day? I was reading the thing, and they said, maybe it's in today's paper, I don't know what paper it was. They said the people are trying to figure out how much they can save, as opposed to, you know, trying to figure out when they can retire. You know what I mean? People aren't figuring they can retire. I know the feeling there. So, you know, people just say, I got to keep on stroking until I just drop over. You know, people buying diamonds and gold and jewelry and junk. Right? This time is the end at Morro Bay. It's a very scenic location. What's happening over in Cairo is really bad. As death toll rises, civil war seems certain. Things have gone to heck in a handbasket in Egypt. They put the military in there. It was temporarily. Somebody had to take over temporarily. But there's always the fear that when the military takes over temporarily, it sort of gets comfortable sitting in that position. And now there's some great concern that that's exactly what's happened. So that's not good. That's really bad. Syria is still really bad. Anything really good? Nothing's good. Nothing really good. Some stuff is sort of okay. What is this story I have here? Oh, and then this is, can I really say, I said, you know, after they approved the ORCID plan, I said, I don't know what you can vote for anymore. I don't really know anymore what you can vote for. But let me see if I can get this thing here. All right. Why your vote for Congress might not matter, in case you ever thought it did matter, but here's why it might not matter, according to CNN.
This is Independence Hall, the birthplace of our American form of government, and for us, the starting point for our journey into why so often that government is failing us now.
We've been asked to do a report on gerrymandering. What do you think about gerrymandering?
I think gerrymandering's a great guy.
These are people lined up to see the Liberty Bell. What do you think about gerrymandering?
I don't really know them.
How about you?
I've never heard of them.
It's actually the way politicians draw up congressional districts into weird-looking shapes so they can protect their own seats.
Okay.
We brought along these ink blot cards as examples.
What does this look like to you?
California coastline.
Just tell me what's the first thing that comes to mind.
Well, skyline.
And how about this one?
A dragon.
A dragon. Very good. You know, these are U.S. congressional voting districts.
Oh. That's what we were going to say that.
Right after dragon.
In Chicago, squeezed between two freeways, this narrow strip is needed to connect two halves of a gerrymandered district to keep it contiguous, as is required.
This is the way Congress gets around the contiguous rule, because there's obviously nobody living here. I mean, unless they're homeless people, I guess. Anybody here? Any congressional voters out there?
This is Illinois' 4th district. Stand it on end, and what does it look like?
Irma.
Luis Gutierrez has been the congressman here for almost 20 years.
One part, another part, and you stay protected, you stay together.
The district was drawn to give Hispanics a seat in Congress.
Shouldn't the Congress of the United States be a reflection of the city of Chicago?
Gutierrez ticks off what he says is an Irish district, a Polish district, a Jewish district, 3 black districts. This is the map for those Chicago districts, all held by Democrats with irregular lines, odd connecting points. Back in the earmuff strip,
here comes a tractor. He's leaving the 7th. He's in the 4th congressional district right now. He's going through the 4th congressional district, and He has entered the 5th congressional district.
In his Hispanic district, Gutierrez is usually reelected with 75% of the vote or more. For other Democrats around him, it can be as high as 85%.
Consider this, in the last decade, 78% of all the seats in the House did not change party hands, not even once. That's nearly 4 out of 5 congressmen in safe seats, year after year after year.
A result of district lines drawn to protect incumbents in both parties.
In general elections, it's almost rigged.
Yeah, really. Okay, well, that makes you want to get that old booth there, you know, and get things lined up for yourself. The shame. Okay. So here we say, well, we need a fresh sweep in Washington, but with the way they got the districts drawn out, you can't sweep anything. You can't do it. You're stuck. I'm stuck, too. No, I see. You, me, too. All right, other things are going on. The idea of wiping out the trees in Los Osos by Sweet Springs is up for discussion, and I don't know what good it's going to do if people are determined to get rid of them. Public will have an opportunity Saturday to learn about the comment on controversial plans to remove as many as 120 eucalyptus trees from the 8-acre addition of Sweet Springs Nature Reserve in L.A. In Los Osos. Officers of the Morro Coast Audubon Society, which manages the reserve, will hold an open house from 2 p.m. at the Reserve Edition at 4th Street and Ramona Avenue. Then will take place rain or shine and will include a project overview, a tour of the property, and an opportunity to ask questions. So you can find out. You can say, well, why would we chop these down? They've just been sitting down here at this end for a long time. The group is moving ahead with plans to restore the property and install trails and interpretive signs. Restoration calls for the removal of invasive plants, including veldt grass and eucalyptus, and replacing them with native plants, including hundreds of coast live oaks. Restoration only planned for the 8-acre addition. No trees are planned for removal from the main reserve property, said Holly Travistat, the reserve manager. Okay, well, that's very interesting. And so, now this addition is down right around the spring itself that you can visibly see. And that's surrounded by eucalyptus trees. And so that's the whole issue here. Should we have that? It always does it amaze you sometimes that some things until you are just seem perfectly the way they are. They're just perfect the way they are. And then all of a sudden somebody starts to meddle with it. It seems that way to me. Yeah. When was it the Land Conservancy that acquired the original Sweet Springs? I think something. Anyway, but you know. They put up a nice fence. You know, they put up a fence. You didn't need a fence. You need a fence for it. It's not got a lock on it or anything. It's not a gate. It's a fence. Oh, I see. Here's the thing. Oh, I know why they did. They wanted to fence it because they don't want people riding a bicycle there. So they fence it in such a way that you have to kind of go around the dingy dingus to get in so you can't possibly ride a bicycle. Okay, that's what. There's always a reason. But up until they acquired the property, you know, nobody had thought about riding a bicycle there. See, you put up the fence. Yeah. Nobody was even thinking about it. Want to go for a ride a bike? Not there. Well, to the roof. Too much poison oak. Too much poison oak. By the way, if you go to Sweet Springs and you walk the path, stay directly on the path. Don't move. Don't let your arms hang out to your sides. Matter of fact, it'd be best to have them folded in front of you. There is poison oak. But that's a native species, is it not? Okay, so that we can have lots of that. All right, just be very, very careful. I'm trying to warn you. What's that stuff you have? What do you got? Calamine. Unless you got a lot of calamine lotion. Make sure you're careful how you walk around it. Okay, here's what's happened now. I didn't realize that this had gone on this long with no success until that we revisited this today. The search ends for the July waterfall victims that fell over Vernal Falls, and so they never did find their bodies. It's kind of weird, doesn't it? Anyway, but now they say the rainy season's coming, and that it's going to be impossible to do anything. Oh, and here's this came up just now on the headline: Wagner not a suspect in his wife's death. This is how it says. Actor Robert Wagner is not a suspect in the reopened investigation of the 1981 drowning of wife Natalie Wood, authorities said credible information led to the reopening. Well, if credible information led to the reopening, and the only information we've heard so far is Captain Kangaroo, there, Dennis Davin, and he reported what he reported. Perhaps a giant squid snatched her off the deck. This is my theory. It's the only one that's going to hold up unless you put Robert Wagner in the picture. Okay. A little bit weird. Senate staff pay raise is small, but timing is questioned. It's not small. Bump in pay averages about 7% with some six-figure salaries rising by 10%. A 7% pay raise isn't small right now. There's people that are losing 7% of their income. There's people losing more than that. There are people losing all of their income. And so you say a 7% raise is small? What's a large raise? Who deserves more than that? The Senate increased the pay of at least 169 employees, nearly one-fifth of the staff, during the three-month period ending October 31st. At least 10 additional staff members are making more money because of changes to their job classification, with promotions leading to salary increases of more than 25% in some cases. Unbelievable. The raise comes as schools and colleges across the state brace for mid-year cuts due to the lower-than-projected revenues. Some Democratic lawmakers have renewed calls for tax increases to help fill a projected $13 billion deficit and avoid more cuts next year. I'll tell you what. So that's this is our own Senate here, not Washington. This is our own Senate right here. And, you know, you would think that the people that are there, our representatives, that they would have their finger on the pulse of how bad things are in California, seeing as how they're the ones that are voting for it and doing all that stuff. So you would think that they'd have some notion of, you know, how bad things were, but apparently they felt, even though things are just terrible for everybody else in the state of California, the staff should get a raise. Ah, yeah. Some 25 percenters. I think it's reasonable. Yeah, we're all making more dang money. We know what to do with these days. So you gotta spread it around, I guess. Okay. All right. Here's one of the things we're talking about. 7 days could be cut. The state announced this week that it intends to, and its revenue projections trigger automatic cuts to schools, so they're going to shorten the year, is what they're going to do. And what's weird is that my niece and nephew go to Hawthorne, and they start school really early. You know, so if you cut it by a week, it would come somewhere near what traditionally school started at. I don't really know if I understand the whole thing, but anyway, that's what's going on with that. And a couple minutes before 1 o'clock is our time. Weather Wizard once again says that we are going to have temperatures pretty much lousy, 60s and 50s. Possible rain Sunday, possible rain next Thursday. The whole week's going to be cold. So it's time to get out those winter sweaters. And this reminder also that, let me make sure I got my reminders for you. What people are doing this weekend and where people are going, let me make sure I haven't missed anything. I think I'm okay. And I got other things that are coming up that aren't even pertinent at this point. And don't forget our soldier guys coming into San Luis Airport, be there about 5 o'clock. And also don't forget this program is being brought to you in part by the Swiss Dental Center in San Luis Obispo, and we thank them for doing that. So that's some of what's going on right there, the Swiss Dental Center. Jim D's going to join me right after the news. Well, I'll do a reggae thing because I think Jim likes reggae. And we'll do a little reggae music, and then we'll do a Palm Theater and say, okay, here's what's going on at the Palm. So I'm looking forward to that. And this reminder also, calcoastnews.com has this big story up today about Cal Poly. There seems to be some debate amongst its own members as to whether or not it's going to go private. So you might want to go to calcoastnews.com and look at that. Up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see Talk is Cheap. You can visit us on the web, live streaming there. Or if you want to listen to another program on KYNS 1340 San Luis Obispo, you can also do that on the same site. We're going to do CBS News next at 1 o'clock, and we'll be back right after.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Disaster declared in Reno. Raging wildfire gobbling up 20 homes, more than 400 acres. KTVN-TV reporter Arianna Bennett.
This fire spread so fast and such a
big way that they don't really have a grasp on how big it is yet because the boundaries haven't even really been drawn.
10,000 people evacuated from their homes. Governor Brian Sandoval.
We're going to do everything we can to protect the homes and the lives of people of this county.
60-mile-an-hour winds fanning those flames, keeping airplanes from getting involved in that firefight. 30 years ago, actress Natalie Wood found dead, ruled an accidental drowning after a night of drinking on a yacht with her husband Robert Wagner and actor Christopher Walken. The case being reopened, Los Angeles Sheriff's Detective John Carina asked today...
Is Robert Wagner a suspect?
No.
Walken says he went to bed, awakening to learn that Wood had died. The yacht captain now says he lied about events on board. FDA approval of Avastin revoked for breast cancer patients, but from agency commissioner Margaret Hamburg...
Avastin will still be approved to treat patients for certain types of colon, lung, kidney, and brain cancer. It will remain on the market for those uses.
She says research shows the drug to be not beneficial and potentially dangerous. Constitutional balanced budget amendments, it doesn't really even come close in Congress today.
Republicans needed 284 members to pass the balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, but came 23 votes shy. With the nation's debt hitting $15 trillion this week, Republicans made the case that a fiscal straitjacket was necessary to stop future Congresses from overspending. All but 25 Democrats voted against the amendment because of concerns that entitlements and aid to the poor would be the first items on the chopping block. Jill Jackson, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
It was an awesome display, the fearsome power of nature unleashed.
It began on May 22nd with howling winds and screaming sirens in Joplin, Missouri. A tornado ravaged the town, killing 161 people, destroying thousands of homes and leaving tons of debris to be cleaned up.
We're ready for the backflow.
But Joplin never lost its faith. Thanks to about 110,000 volunteers, it's coming back. Now grateful residents are sending those volunteers cards to thank them for their help. Several signing ceremonies are planned around town. The city manager says Joplin will forever be grateful. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
North Carolina religious school suing the Obama administration over the new health care law approved last year. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula.
The health care reform approved by Congress is being challenged in court by Belmont Abbey College here in North Carolina. The Catholic school, with an enrollment of 1,700, says it would have to pay for birth control and sterilization for its 200 workers, and that goes against its religious teachings.
Wall Street, the Dow gains 26 points today to finish the week at 11,796. The Nasdaq loses 15. This is CBS News.
Come into the Home Depot today for free Black Friday savings on a wide selection of appliances. You don't have to wait until the day after Thanksgiving for savings like $200 off your choice of a front load or top load washer from LG. They're just $499 each right now. So beat the crowds with free Black Friday savings on appliances today. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. Home Depot store for details.
Numbers can be used to predict the weather.
The forecast calls for 80 degrees.
Numbers can be used to predict the market. But this weekend, numbers will be used to catch criminals.
You can tell us where the killer lives?
Yeah.
Numbers, the show USA Today calls a high-speed, high-tech mystery.
FBI!
Catch Numbers this weekend. Check your local listings.
Herman Cain and David Letterman, meeting of the minds, sort of, on Late Night Tonight.
Cain tried to promote his signature economic plan.
999. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it means.
But Letterman wasn't letting him get away with it.
It's bold. I know it's bold, but you don't even know what it means. I heard somebody say to you, how would so-and-so and so-and-so be handled under 999? And you said, I don't know.
And the interview reached a point where Cain seemed to conclude Dave was trying to trip him up.
I understand. You've heard all this before.
But now listen to me.
Are you trying to talk me out of this?
Cain's support has been dropping in the latest polls. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
He's trying real hard to talk me out of this.
It's being held in Fairview, Illinois this weekend. Spanksgiving. City officials intend to crack down, they say, on vendors at the convention checking for permits. It's sponsored by a group behind a yearly convention called Beat Me in St. Louis. This weekend's event is meant to explore bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism in relationships. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The Home Depot has pre-Black Friday prices on appliances today. Get $700 off a stainless steel French door Maytag Ice 2.0 refrigerator that uses even less energy than an average light bulb, all for just $1,198. beat Black Friday's crowds with a wide selection of appliances at pre-Black Friday prices today. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last through November 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
If you could hear inside a criminal mind, what would it sound like?
Nothing a stalker likes better than routine.
Pressure, steaming, scheming.
He's calculating, and we're going to have to do something that he's not expecting.
Building, boiling.
He's learning, becoming a better killer.
Seeking a release.
This guy's getting off the charts brutal.
Until...
FBI!
Put down the knife!
Go inside the crime and the mind. Criminal Minds, this weekend. Check your local listings.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Dun, 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 dun.
Downtown Montclair, New Jersey, the Wellmont Theater. We used to go as kids, you know, and everybody's screaming and jumping up and down on the seats and everything and throwing popcorn around, and was just out of control, I remember, as we were young people. And Jim D., did you have a similar situation when you were young?
When I was young, living in Park Ridge, New Jersey, my grandmother used to always take me to Pearl River, New York. Where I lived was very close to the border of New Jersey and New York. It's like 3 miles away. Mm. And it's funny you mention this, because I actually looked this up online to see if the theater still existed. But a very short jaunt from my hometown in New Jersey. My grandmother took me there all the time. I don't know how she stood it, because it was like Saturday mornings was 50 cents to get in, and I would see all my monster movies that I was into. But my wonderful grandmother took me and endured a lot of these things that I was just crazy for. So Pearl River, New York, is where I saw most of my movies when I was a kid.
We had a theater right where I lived called the Bellevue, but they had the big epics for adults, you know, that kind of stuff. And the Wellmont was downtown, and they had all the nasty horror, the Black Lagoons and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, but here now I don't know if it's still there, but I've seen on eBay, apparently Cyndi Lauper appeared there, which at first when I heard that, I was trying to think back, because, you know, things are fuzzy when you try to think what a theater looked like inside way back then. But I remember, though, all the theaters had balconies.
Yeah.
You know, so I would imagine, you know, if you look back and say, well, could they shove enough people in there to make money? They probably could.
Well, believe it or not, back in the 50s when I went to this theater in Pearl River, there was a balcony, but it was closed. I mean, maybe it was not, you know, I mean, get too many people up there and it falls or something. But even back in the 50s and 60s, this balcony was closed. So that's that great line that, you know, Siskel and Ebert had, and the balcony's closed.
Now, I have to remember, now, there was another theater that had a balcony, and it was closed all the time. And I can't believe the Wellmont put up with having a balcony anyway, because they would, you know, kids are throwing popcorn down and soda pops, and just, you know, we would have just, it was chaos during a movie, you know, if it was like a monster movie or whatever.
Do you remember the Obispo Theater? Were you here?
No, as a matter of fact, though, but my wife's sister, my sister-in-law, worked there.
Wonderful, wonderful theater. In fact, I saw The Godfather there, but I was in the balcony. There was a balcony in the Obispo Theater.
Okay, and for people that don't know where the Obispo Theater became part of, what is that new project called there? Oh, it's called the Court Street Project.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Obispo Theater was right there on the corner. That was a parking lot for a long time before it became the Court Street Project. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, when they did the Court Street Project and they were digging it up, they actually saw, you could see the sloped area where the seats in the Obispo were. I mean, the Copelands probably have this photographic record, but when they dredged up the parking lot, you could see the sloping of the floor where the Obispo Theater seats were.
How interesting.
I missed that theater. It was a great one.
That's interesting. Burned down.
Well, it didn't burn down.
It didn't burn down?
Well, there was a fire in there, and they blamed it on the theater, but it was later on. It was arson. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was arson, and it was it was actually started next door where Cheap Thrills used to be. Remember? You go up the stairs?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they blamed it on the theater, going back to the days when, you know, there was when nitrate film used to cause fire.
Right.
But it didn't start in the movie theater. The unfortunate thing is, I think if that had happened today, I don't think they would have torn it down. They had a hard time tearing down the Obispo Theater. I remember pretty clearly. But too bad.
Was it burned really bad, though?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure about that. But the fact that the fire started next door, I'm not sure what the damage was. But maybe it was pretty extensive. But I think today they would have kept it up there, maybe give it a little historical bent, because the Obispo Theater was really a great theater.
You know what's interesting, and this brings this to mind, however, is occasionally I'll go on eBay and just look at postcards of places that I've been. And almost invariably, the old postcards, there was a huge hotel in almost every place you've ever heard of, you know, and the railroads basically are what, you know, created these things, and they have these gorgeous, huge hotels, and there's none left. I mean, they don't exist anymore.
Mm.
Pasadena has the Green Hotel, which is built in the 20s, I think, and it was just, the architecture's really cool, and it's just kind of a weird old hotel, really. And that still exists there, but there's just so many hotels in Santa Barbara. They had these hotels burned down. They had the huge thing, Sutro, built up in San Francisco that was out over the water, and that burned down. The town I grew up in, there was a big, huge hotel that I don't remember at all. I don't know when it burned down, but I see pictures of it, and I go, say what? You know?
So we have the Weinman downtown.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? But and the reason they mostly burned down was smoking. You know, that started because everybody was puffing away back then. Mm. You know, people just go to sleep and that's it. Nah. Right.
We digress.
That's okay. It's good to digress.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I mean? Because I'm talking to the guy that bought the Rainbow Theater.
or built it. Yeah.
Built it. Yeah. Did you build the Rainbow?
Well, yeah. It was a number of different. It was when I first moved here in 1965. It was called the Morrow Club, which was a pool bar.
Really?
Then it turned into, I believe, a coffee house.
Uh-huh.
And then I got in there around 1979 and turned it into the Rainbow and operated as the Rainbow Theater for 10 years. We went from 79 to 89. And the Palm opened in 1988. For about a year, we had both of them going, but the money it took to get the Palm up and running was a lot more than I thought. So the Rainbow closed in, I believe, July of 1989. I had to shed a few tears for that one.
It was on Oso Street right there.
Yep.
What was the Mexican restaurant that was there for a long time?
Los Hermanos.
Los Hermanos was there. Los Hermanos.
Yep.
A lot of changes in this town, eh?
Yes.
Hey, mate, lots of changes. Okay. We're going to visit the Palm Theater right now and find out what's going on this weekend because we've got three movies playing, and they include The Way.
You know, The Way is our hit. It's great. We're in our fifth week, I believe. It stars Martin Sheen. It's directed by his son, Emilio Estevez. Really a charming film. This is about this spiritual trek that people make across Spain. They end up in northwest Spain in a town called Santiago de Compostela. And I guess this is a little bit special to me and my wife, Patty, because we went to Spain about 3 years ago. We were there in the 70s, but we didn't venture to the northwest, and we did this time. And we see these people with backpacks, and they have a shell on the back of their backpack. And we go, what is this? What is this all about? It's this almost ancient traditional path that you walk through. Actually, you start in France, and you walk to the northwest of Spain to do whatever you know, for whatever reason you want, whether you want to walk or it's for some, or you're imitating these spiritual people from the past or whatever. The plot of the film is Martin Sheen is not real close to his son, who in the film is portrayed by his real son, Emilio Estevez. Emilio Estevez is doing this trek, and he dies. You find this out very early in the film, so I'm not spoiling anything for you. So Martin Sheen, who is not very close to his son, and it's, well, let's just say in the film he's the 1%. He's a very rich ophthalmologist. He's out on the golf course, and so he finds out that his son passed away. So he goes over to Spain to retrieve his belongings, and then Martin Sheen says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pick up where my son left off. So the film is about Martin Sheen making this trek across Spain.
And I don't want to give anything away, but why is there a shell?
You know, they talk about that a little bit. It just sort of is a little emblem or a symbol of the fact that you are on this trek. And now how that...
Like a seashell?
It's like a seashell. It looks exactly like the shell that you see at the Shell stations,
right,
the gas stations. And it's just, I'm not sure how the tradition started, and I don't think they talk about it in the film specifically, but it's kind of, you put the shell on your backpack, and it just sort of signifies...
So this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing.
How interesting.
Yeah,
oh, very interesting.
Very charming, very likable film.
When's the last time Emilio Estevez acted? When's the last time you saw him in front of the camera?
Yeah, good question. I know he and, you know, Charlie have done some things in the past, and I remember way back when in the 80s in a film called Repo Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what's great about this film and Emilio is he pops up now and again. But he wrote it, directed it, and, you know, he directed his dad in this. It's kind of nice. The response to it has been really good.
Of course, I've got to tell you the truth. You know, I'm not, with all due credit going to Emilio Estevez, but if my father was Martin Sheen and that's who I got to direct, I think I'd be okay, you know. I don't care what the plot was.
It's definitely a feel-good film.
That's cool. That's really cool. All right, then we have Martha, Marcy, May, and Marlene.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that title down. This was a highly acclaimed film from Sundance, and it's kind of a, well, I'll use the word disturbing film. The woman in it, she's one of the Olsen girls. You know the Olsen twins?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a younger sister, and she's really good in this, although she spent some time with, shall we say, a cult. A family is out in the boonies there, and she kind of gets used to some very strange lifestyles. Well, she tries to escape and integrate back into society, and it's very difficult for her because she almost doesn't know what reality is. And it's very interesting film. Where it's the response has been just okay, highly acclaimed, but it's sort of this about this young teenage girl who is trying to grasp on what reality is. Did she spend time with this cult? Is she trying to integrate back into society where it's very difficult for her because she's got dreams and remembrances of things that were kind of unsavory when she was with this family. So
this is interesting. There was a news person at KSBY, a young lady that was on the news, and this was back 70s, I think, still late 70s, and she left and went elsewhere, you know, like they all do, you know, they go to the next market, whatever it is. But then somebody told me, I said, they said, have you heard what's happened with this person? I said, no, I suppose they're, you know, in San Antonio, wherever people go. She goes, no, she joined a cult out in New Mexico. I go, she, what? I mean, this was like, I knew this person, not well, but I knew her well enough to, you know, talk with her and stuff, and I just never saw this person as a cultist. Anyway, so the, she was, or a culture, or whatever it is. So she lost her mind and went out in the desert.
Well, maybe she needs to see this movie.
Yeah, really. I think it's a good idea. I'm going to think, if I see this movie, I'm going to think about it. I was trying to think about what her name is. It's not coming to me. I know the last, began with a P. Then Take Shelter.
Take Shelter is the new one, and I have to say I saw this film last September at Toronto, and it pretty much knocked my socks off. It's a, mainly because of the main character portrayed by Michael Shannon. Now, he is not a household name to me, but he is in a popular series now that I believe is on HBO or Showtime. It's called Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, okay.
The main guy is Steve Buscemi, but yeah, right. Michael Shannon is in this. And Michael Shannon has been in a lot of movies. In this film, Take Shelter, he takes the lead role. He is fantastic. It basically, a blue-collar worker from middle America. He's a construction worker. Has a family, has a wonderful daughter who is hearing impaired, wonderful wife, and, you know, their life is very, very typical, you know, breakfast in the morning, off to work, you know, he puts on his hard hat. But what's happening to Michael Shannon in this movie, his name is Curtis, has bad dreams. He has these dreams of kind of an oncoming apocalypse, whether it's he has bad dreams about storms, he has bad dreams about people outside of his door, and very slowly but surely he has to wonder, is he going crazy? Is he a prophet? But what he does is, which is very typical for people where he lives in middle America, is he starts to build a shelter in his backyard. Now, what is the reason that's not a weird thing is the fact that hurricanes and cyclones come through this area and people do have these things in their backyard. But he starts digging. Actually, I think he has a shelter in the backyard, but he wants to make it bigger because he's worried about whatever this unknown thing is coming. But it's also sort of dealing with his, you know, he goes to a doctor, you know, doc, am I going crazy? You know, I have these bad dreams. What the film is...
He's a Vietnam vet.
You know, he might, I don't, you know, I saw it last September, but he may be a vet as well.
Oh, okay.
But the film is an incredible metaphor, at least in my opinion, of the uncertain times we live in. I mean, we have, you know, we talk about climate change, or we talk about, gee, am I going to have my job, or economic or financial stuff. So the film is this amazing metaphor for that unknown that's just down the road, and it kind of plays out in a way that, you know, this guy has uncertainty. Is he going crazy? What are these dreams that he has? And this Michael Shannon is just what a performance. So I highly recommend Take Shelter.
All right, we're going to be back with Jim D and the Palm Theater and Bill Beneke and Talk Is Cheap right after this.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
the popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
I wish I could remember Jim D. I was watching a movie on HBO the other night. I can't remember. I was trying to remember. Steve Buscemi was in it, and he was very young. And now, and I was all the, and I was surprised because, but maybe, you know, he drove a hack in New York. He was a taxi driver, and so then decided, I'm just going to get in the movies. I'm going to do it, you know. And he did. So what I wonder is, when he sort of came on the scene, that you can remember him. He was older. He's an older kind of a guy, not like a young James Dean type. Yet in this movie, so maybe it was a part-time bit he got, you know, in a movie that was filmed in New York. I don't know. But it was a very small part. But there he was, you know.
It's funny when you see these stars, and then you go back and you see them. Oh my God! He's in this movie. He was in 20 years ago, and there he is. You know.
And you know the interesting thing too is now I'd be interested, I think, in watching Boardwalk Empire again. Now I watched it when the very first show started.
Oh, wow.
And the problem with that usually is like any other. It's like Jon Stewart in the very first time he did the Daily Show. You're very stiff. And you know you're trying to feel comfortable with your part, and you don't, and that kind of thing. And so I've always thought Steve Buscemi was really a lot of fun to watch. And his first outing with the Boardwalk was kind of like, well, okay, well, it's the first outing. So I'd be interested to tune in again. Here's an interesting thing, and I know they're not listening. I'm pretty sure they're not listening, so I think I can mention this. I was looking at prices for Deathly Hallows Part 2, and I was on Amazon looking this up. But here's what's interesting about it. Is that it was rated, and here they have 7,000 ratings or something, you know what I mean? And it's average 2.5 stars.
Hmm.
And every little kid I know, you know, that associates with my nephew, you know, this is the greatest thing that's ever written, you know. So it's kind of like, say what? So I don't know. That's very interesting to me.
You're talking about Harry Potter, right?
Yeah, Harry Potter, okay. The Deathly Hallows Part 2. Part 1, which they adore. He adores that. I don't get it at all. I've watched it 5 times with him. I'm going, yeah? What does this mean? Hmm. And there's hardly any excitement or action, really, except for one little part in it. And normally I've learned something about young people, and I tell you where I've learned to see this. If you go on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network sometime, just do it for the grins, and watch a commercial, and watch how many different scenes they do in a commercial for children.
Mm.
And it just is hundreds. I mean, you can count to the hundreds sometimes of all these things they have flashed in front of these kids, because kids apparently today, they need all this action all the time. And I know by having a niece and nephew that are 10 and 8, they are very impatient with movies. Very, very impatient with movies. You know, if something's not happening funny or exciting pretty quick, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, they're just not going to be interested in it. And the other thing that's so weird is they obsess over some movies.
Well, I mean, isn't the new Twilight film, I think it's just opening, and I'm sure that's going to be huge. I think they were camping out in front of the theaters. And, you know, more power to that. I mean, if there's movies out there that can get people to camp out in front of the theater because they're so excited to see it, all for it.
And once again, I'll remind us what that one person was in line, one of these other movies they made, and they said, you know, what is the fascination with this whole werewolfy thing and all that with this? And the person was, I thought, very credible by saying, you know what, this is our generation's Star Wars.
Hmm.
And that's how they looked at it. And they, you know, this is their thing, like Star Wars. And they looked at Star Wars kind of like, what were you thinking back then? Especially the first three, of course. Done so clumsily, really.
You know, they're actually re-releasing the Episode 1, which was the fourth film made, in February in 3D. So George Lucas, I think, is going to go back through the Star Wars films, re-release them, and they'll be able to see them in 3D. So it's the first, it's Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, comes out in theaters in February, and you can...
Don't let my nephew and niece hear that. That's the one they watch. You want to watch a DVD? Phantom Menace. They would watch that thing 24 hours a day for the rest of their lives if you didn't take them away from it.
Well, should I tell you my Phantom Menace story?
Yeah.
I didn't like it anyway, but that's beside the point. You know, it's huge and everything. I all the time get these letters or something where you can go to a press screening, like, but I got to go down to L.A., and I never go to them. So, except I went to one, and it was Phantom Menace. And I thought, okay, you know, here's this big deal. I'm going to go down and watch Phantom Menace. I'm in this gigantic theater down the L.A. area with press, and you know, they're unveiling the new Star Wars movie. Because you remember,
franchise.
The third one,
right? The first one.
It was a long time. So here's the first one, supposedly the first one. The movie ended, and boy, it was just sort of this kind of weak applause. I mean, as opposed to stuff that I see in Toronto, where everyone just roars, or you know, I mean, there's certain things that people go crazy for. I mean, I don't think the entire audience was real crazy about this film. I mean, it doesn't make any difference because it made gazillions when it came out,
exactly,
and of course it's Star Wars and it's gold, whatever it may be. But I remember watching this at a press screening, and people were not real crazy about it. They just kind of, oh, gee, wasn't that nice? You know?
So this is this is what's interesting, that when you find out that kids that are 8 and 10 years old are fascinated with it,
mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, the shenanigans of Jar Jar Binks and that whole thing and stuff, you know, it's the kind of thing that kids would really like. And adults are kind of going to go, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. And so that's really interesting. But like I said to you last time we talked, it's very interesting now with movies and cartoons how you look at them and say, okay, who is this really directed at? You know, is it an adult cartoon, but that's funny enough for kids or whatever? We got a phone call. We'll find out. Let's talk to somebody on the phone and say hello. Hello?
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann.
Hey, Ann.
It's Ann, and it's foggy in Los Osos. Anyway, you know what? I went to see Puss in Boots. You're talking about coming back with Star Wars in 3D. I went to see Puss in Boots, the second part, and I know it made a bazillion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But that film seemed to really, it happens a lot. It suffers from the 3D syndrome, which is if you've got a budget of X amount, you can either spend that budget on really great writing and great performances and great script, or you could spend a huge amount on all the whiz-bang bells and whistles and things flying out in the audience. And it's very rarely that they're able to balance both. And this one just to me it was just awful, because it just had all the crash and bang rather than what could have been really funny stuff. I'm telling you, no amount of 3D is ever going to make Jar Jar Binks palatable or improve some of the last of the Star Wars saga. And I'm a Star Wars fan, so.
Now, were you a Shrek fan, Ann? I mean, do you like Shrek movies and that's why you went to see it?
Yeah. And what I liked about the Shrek movie is that witty dialogue and that kind of snarky, satirical wordplay.
Right.
And they could have had an absolute funny stuff with Banderas and cats. What, I mean, cats. Just think of all the ridiculous things you could do with cats. But instead, it was really the story I thought was very, very weak, and so much of it was spent on 3D effects rather than really, you know, wonderful scripts.
No, Jim and I have talked about it.
Avatar is probably the only one I've seen so far that's managed to balance quite well the whiz-bang gee-whiz with a really kind of a excellent story and a good script.
Well, you know, Ann, the statistics are the fact that if people these days have the choice between a 3D and that upcharge or seeing it in 2D, more are going towards the 2D, even though I would tend to think that re-releasing Phantom Menace Star Wars in 3D, that will be, you know, that people will go to see it in 3D, but you know, as a routine, more 3D films. They're gonna do them, but it seems like the public is opting for the 2D and not for the upcharge. And you know, it's really interesting too. That looks pretty great. Is the new Martin Scorsese film, and it's a children's film, and it's called Hugo, and it's in 3D. And I don't know if you've seen the previews to that, but it looks like Martin just pulls out all the stops to make this not only visually amazing, but capitalizing on the 3D.
Yeah, this looks like it's a good movie.
The story is, you know, Up, for example, was a brilliant film, and it worked beautifully in 2D. The 3D was okay. I mean, it was nice. It wasn't, you didn't need it.
And this is where, once again, I think to myself, and having these two, a niece and a nephew, ages 8 and 10, it's interesting to see what they like and what they don't like. And so, for instance, they didn't like Up hardly at all. They just,
well,
they
it's
really,
kind of a grown-up film.
Yeah, it's a grown-up cartoon. It really is. And I was talking a couple weeks ago, Jim and I were talking about the fact that I went and got Rango. And I love the daylights out of it, you know, but there's so much of it is aimed at adults. That there's enough action for the kids to say, okay, that's okay. But, you know, it's an adult cartoon is really what it is.
But see, Rango works without 3D.
Oh, absolutely. And
so
you know,
the question is, what kind of film really, truly needs 3D?
None.
Well, I mean, I think Avatar came really close because they were doing stuff that hadn't been seen before.
Well, now, Avatar is going to come out in 3D, is it not?
Well, it already was in 3D originally.
But there's two more in the next two years.
Oh, I see. If they're doing a remake, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, Avatar, you wanted to see it in 3D just for the ability to see this stuff that you had never seen before.
Now, I have to admit, I have the 2D version of it, and I enjoy the heck out of the 2D version.
Oh, yeah, it's enjoyable. But there was an extra... I think the quality was worth it because of the way it was done. It wasn't just so that you had things flying at you.
Right, exactly.
It was integral to the creating the world that you stepped into.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is what made Avatar really work, is you stepped into that world. You just weren't sitting in your seat and had things flying past you.
Mm-hmm. Well
said. And that's, I think, a huge difference. Most of the 3D things are just... You're sitting in a theater and things fly at you. It's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, really. No, James Cameron, I mean, he crafted that movie in such a way that the 3D was just an integral part of the movie when you were watching it. It wasn't like, it was so well done that it was just part of the experience of it.
Yeah, you didn't notice it, because once you literally stepped into that fake world, it is as if you literally slipped through a curtain, and you are now in this place, and the place then became very real.
Mm-hmm.
What, a wormhole, Ann. You were in a wormhole.
There you go, always
a wormhole.
Yes.
I'll tell you.
But I hope everybody goes to see The Way at the Palm. It's really a lovely film.
I agree.
Very, very enjoyable.
Wonderful.
And we're going to go see the other one, the creepy one.
Ooh, Take Shelter or Martha.
That really looks interesting.
It is. And Michael Shannon's, again, I can't talk more about his performance. He's really quite a screen presence.
Yeah, that's a great performance. So and luckily it's not in 2D.
It's 3D. Oh, it's glorious 2D.
Yeah, glorious.
You know, here's another interesting thing when you're mentioning that. I went and bought Coraline.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed that, you know, the guy that did Wallace and Gromit and won the awards all the time, Coraline was up for an Academy Award but didn't get it. Some other cartoon got it. But it was absolutely, to see the making of Coraline, which they had on HBO, and how they had to make this thing, was like, holy cow.
Yeah, the little claymation.
Oh, but who would go through all this? And then when you actually see the movie and you say, how in the name of heavens did they do all this stop motion stuff and make this look so good? But here's what's interesting. When you bought the DVD, you got two DVDs. One was 3D, and they gave you the old-fashioned 3D glasses with the red and the green, and the other was 2D. I have to, once again, I prefer watching the 2D to the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, and I think part of that is, once again, is if they stop making the cheap 3D stuff, which I think they will eventually, and realize people aren't going to pay the upcharge for it, like Jim said, when they start to really do Avatar-type 3D and integrate things so it really makes it worthwhile, I think that we'll eventually get used to it and really start to enjoy it. I think right now we have always had, you know, every movie experience we've ever had was two-dimensional almost, you know, I mean, except for the, you know, going to Disneyland and seeing Michael Jackson come at you. And so, you know, I think we're not used to it even. So when they make it crappy, here's something we're not used to begin with, and then if it's not done well, it's so obvious to us.
Well, plus it's just, you're sort of thinking, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very expensive process, and if it doesn't pay off big time, then a lot of people figure out, well, the story's mediocre. This particular film is like, and it sure doesn't need, the 3D doesn't really add anything because it's all boring anyway.
And with the upcharge, you know, I think they should throw in a box of jujubes, I got to tell you the truth, because it only seems fair to me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. But I think if you know, years and years and years ago, I saw an exhibition of laser things in an art gallery, and they were just working on that technology. It was really primitive, but you would, you know, and like there would be what looked like a sculpture, only it didn't exist. It was like out of Star Wars with the little 3D thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
But the way the stuff they were using was like a kind of transmission of a teacup or something. I mean, the subject matter was banal. The technology was stunning, but the subject matter was very dull.
And
a lot of times, if you look back on the very first photographs done by the very first photographers, they were taking pictures of a teacup because they hadn't mastered the technology yet. And once they did, then they were able to make art the technology.
Right.
And I think the 3D movie making is at that stage of development.
I saw
they
the other day.
They haven't quite figured out how to use the technology to really make art.
I saw the other day.
But they will.
I saw the other day the first picture, the first photograph that was ever taken in France. That was a guy.
Yes.
That was a guy on a roof.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, eventually they figured out how to use that technology to make some amazing stuff. And I think the 3D will, it's, you know, it'll get there. And then you'll have some really stunning stuff.
All right, madam. Thanks, Dan, for your call today. Appreciate it. Bye. Here's something I'm noticing now, and I don't know anything about it, and I'll ask you if you know something about it. Here I'm just getting used to the idea of this Blu-ray affair, and they have stuff in Blu-ray, which I've resisted totally because I know the next thing that's going to come out are going to be little SDI cards and you just plug into your TV and watch a movie. I know it just as sure as God made apples.
Mm-hmm.
But they advertise ultraviolet.
Oh.
What is that?
I read an article about ultraviolet DVDs, and these are things that you can play apparently on any medium, and I've got to dig back to reading this article. But, I mean, this is like sort of a, you know, your Blu-rays, you play in a Blu-ray player or a player that can handle them. These DVDs, I guess, I
work with a regular DVD player.
Well, but there's all different media that I guess, that it's sort of like the all-purpose DVD that plays in whatever you put it in. And
I got you, okay.
And, you know, I was a little unclear on that article, but I have heard of these ultraviolet DVDs.
Until the other day when I was searching for this movie for Christmas, I hadn't even heard of it before.
Yeah, I just read one thing about it, and it just sort of like, the fact that we have all these different gadgets that we can utilize, that this DVD plays in every darn thing you have.
a universal thingy, finally. Finally, a universal thingy.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Jim, I've had a great time today, and I think we had a good time talking about the movies. I encourage you, please, go to the Palm Theater and see Jim's movies at the only solar-powered theater in the... Where is it? In the whole world? Where is it? The county? In the country? Where is it?
Well, we were the first, but I think they're slowly but surely, you know, getting solar panels on the roof.
Fine, copycats. All right, go to the Palm. Great popcorn and nice people.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
KYNF, 1340 AM, San Luis Obispo and the entire Central Coast.
The fires lit, you families near. The holidays are almost here, but if you still aren't up to speed, a trip to Kohl's is all you need. For ornaments to add some zest, or the perfect gift, a faux fur vest. A Seiko watch that will make him smile. A sweater dress that's just her style. To see big smiles on all their faces, just let Kohl's help cover your bases.
This Friday and Saturday, everything is on sale at Kohl's. All departments, no exclusions. With the perfect gifts at the perfect prices, you'll love to give and be happy to save. Kohl's, expect great things.
Right now at Lowe's, get savings you won't believe on our top Whirlpool appliances. Save $1,200 on Whirlpool Gold Stainless Steel 4-Door Refrigerators. Now only $1,299. Or clean up with savings of $600 on Whirlpool Cabrio High Efficiency Top Load Washers and Dryers. Get the pair for $998. Plus, get an additional 5% off every day when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card or any Lowe's business credit account. Lowe's. Never stop improving. Offers valid through 11/21. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place. Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenience. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Herring? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
Did you know that MRI technology changes as rapidly as computers or cell phones? San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art medical technology, so patients on the Central Coast have the best medical care available. That's why they just replaced their MRI scanner with a Siemens Skyra, the new gold standard in MR imaging. This 3 Tesla MRI is the only one of its kind in California, and there are only 2 others in the United States. This system has 8 times the resolution of other MRIs, giving your doctor the most accurate high-resolution images in history. Plus, it's 5 times faster, getting you in and out as quickly as possible. It's also the most open MRI in existence and virtually eliminates claustrophobia. You have a choice when it comes to where you get an MRI. Tell your doctor you want the best MRI technology available. Choose the fastest, most advanced MRI made only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
Little darling, it's been a long, long, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right. Little darling, the smiles are returning to their places. Little darling, it seems
light years since they've been there. But here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. See the ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since they've been there. And here comes the sun. There goes the snow, and I say, it's all right. It's all right. I see the ice is slowly melting. Darling, it seems like years since they've been there. Here comes the sun, there goes the snow, and I say, it's all right, it's all right. Darling, the smiles are returning to their places. Little darling, it seems like years since they've been there. Here comes the sun. I say, here comes the sun. You say, it's all right.
Reggae Beatles today. I don't know. I don't listen to reggae myself a whole lot, but not a whole lot. I listen to about two Bob Marley songs, and that's it. That's not a whole lot. It is. You know, I say I shot the sheriff and another one. I forget what it was. Okay, let's see. We got Talk is Cheap, Your Friends and Neighbors Network right now. Thank you again for joining me. We were just talking. I'm not going to be here next Friday after Thanksgiving. The whole place closes down, and there's no sense me trying to break in to do this. So Jim won't be on next Friday, but we were talking about maybe he can come in next Wednesday. So we'll see if we can work on something. Also next Wednesday, don't forget where you have at the PCPA. We have the Christmas Carol is going on, and that's playing right now. And I'll have Craig Schaefer from PCPA in with me, and we'll talk more about it. All right. We're running out of time. Let me see what we got. Let me see. Oh, some guy wrote a really good letter today. I really wanted to share that with you. I don't have to share it. It was a really, really well-written letter. Let's see if I got time to do this. Let me eyeball it. Yeah, Marvin wrote it from Morro Bay. Okay. Now, I normally don't want to read a whole letter, but this was so well done that I just wanted to share this with you. Simple opportunity. Regarding Occupy SLO, they have no mission statement, according to November 6, page A11. That is the point, and one which most observers can't get their minds around. Occupy Wall Street and its social siblings have no mission statement because they have seen the mission statements are meaningless. They have no spokesperson because they have heard mouthpieces utter falsehoods unchallenged except by another mouthpiece also uttering lies. They have no leader because they have been led to disappointment and near disaster. Observers who don't understand Occupy look for historical parallels like anti-Vietnam War demonstrations, civil rights marches, the 1930 World War I Veterans Bonus Encampment. But those had a specific goal, end the war, equality for African Americans, the payment of a promise award. Once the goal was achieved, the protest ended. Occupy is not that singular nor simple. Its attack is across the board against the cowardice of those who govern, against the callow trading of power for profit, against the merchandising of ideals and morality in our society. What do they want? Not only a job, not easier ways to pay off a debt, not a handout. Those are too easy. What they want is what has been traded, stolen, mortgaged, perverted, and taken from them. What they want is opportunity. I like that letter. All right. Who else is in the news today? We had banquets. We had this bouquets thing. Council was 10-year on expenditures. This is about this is the opinion of the Tribune saying the city council should have spent the money on the sidewalks. They liked the fact that they went with this program on the dunes. Paid with bad intentions. Santa Barbara-based Rotman Group is accusing Walmart stores of backing out of a verbal commitment to fund improvements on Atascadero's Del Rio Road. And they're both kind of up to their ears in alligators on that whole thing, so I agree with them that both of them are kind of weird. And we've had many people comment on the fact that pizza is now a vegetable. Well, it's a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Oh, yeah, have a wonderful weekend. Please be safe, and we'll get together again noon on Monday. Till then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great day.